If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks suffer a 5-1 loss to the Buffalo Sabres, dropping their fourth game in a row, second to last game of the season for the Blackhawks, who will wrap things up on Wednesday here at the United Center against Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks. But before we look ahead to the season finale, let's get to this game tonight. I'm going to bring in Steve Conroyd. And Steve, it was another game where the Blackhawks led 1-0 in the game. I believe it's now their 25th blown lead of the season. So it's like the good of the Hawks are finding ways to jump out ahead, but then the bad of we're seeing a young, immature team not knowing how to close out these games.
Yeah, not being able to hang on. And, it was a promising start. It was a great start. And I know they had the early power play, but I think the shots were 5-1 right out of the gate. And then they score a shorthanded goal. And you think, boy, the fans are into it. The bench was into it. There were some energized players out there. Mikheyev, I thought, had a real strong game tonight. And Ryan Green, I know he turned one over and Buffalo ended up tying the game. But another strong performance from him. I mentioned it during the game, and I think it's worth revisiting. Frank Nazar playing with a full shield. He didn't have one of his better games tonight. I think something with that shield kind of upset his game a little bit. He didn't see the ice like he normally sees it. And, maybe it's the fact that he was probably in a dentist chair the last couple of days having his teeth repaired. But he was just a little off, and I wouldn't be surprised one bit if it was that visor. So I look back at this game, and even, they were down 2-1, but they had that 5-on-3. And the 5-on-3 just, they didn't really get any good looks, and you'd expect them to get a couple of really good looks. It was a minute 13, 5-on-3, and I even said at the time, listen, if they can score in that first minute, they're still going to have a power play. And all of a sudden, at the end of it, you could come out maybe ahead if you score two quick power play goals, but it wasn't to be. And, of course, as always happens, a team kills a 5-on-3. They get a little bit of momentum, a little bit of juice from that. And I think it was Alex Tuck who went down the ice and then ended up scoring the goal that made it 3-1. And for all intents and purposes, that was a game, set, and match.
That's exactly where I was going to go next, because it was a 1-1 score through one period of play. The shots on goal were 6-5 in favor of Buffalo. And I think that favors the Blackhawks when you can limit Buffalo to that few of shots on goal. Second period, the Sabres really turned it up, and they outshot the Blackhawks 12-4. Only had one goal in that second period to show for it. And so then the Hawks, essentially 2 minutes into the third period, get a 5-on-4 power play, and then they get another power play that's a 5-on-3 for a minute and 13. And yeah, you even mentioned on the broadcast, but I remember when Joel Quenneville was the head coach here, he would always say, the team that loses slash wins the 5-on-3 power play is typically going to be the team that wins the game. And it was, unfortunately, the Blackhawks that weren't able to convert at all on the power play in this game. They finished 0-for-5.
Yeah, and that was there was a couple of times that Frank Nazar got the puck, and I just think his vision was kind of obstructed a little bit with that cage. He just seemed a little bit off, and tough for him because he's going through an injury, but he's got to wear a full cage, and then you're not used to that full cage, and all of a sudden it's maybe blocking your vision a little bit. And it wasn't just on him either. There was a number of guys out there, I thought, had opportunities to maybe shoot the puck when they didn't. Anton Frondell did have a good look on that 5-on-3. But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, just a big goalie who's known as a shot blocker, and that's exactly what he did tonight. And give credit, too, to the Buffalo Sabres, not just on the penalty kill. I thought their forecheck was just as tenacious as we saw Carolina in here not that long ago. It was just as tenacious as Carolina. So Lindy Ruff has this team playing an upbeat, up-tempo type game, and they're not afraid to be very aggressive, and aggressive they were tonight.
Hawks now fall to, I believe it's, 1-8-1 in their last 10 games. I'm not trying to make excuses, but this sure feels like a young team that has hit a mental and physical wall, where there are so many young players on this roster that have never experienced what it's like to play a full 82-game season. And when you get, I know there was that the built-in the Olympic break that was in there, so they did have a little bit, a couple weeks, but the Hawks did have like 2 full weeks of practice time. Like the Hawks, they practiced hard after they took a week off, and then they practiced for like 9 out of 10 days coming out of the break. So it wasn't like they were sitting in Cabo for 3 weeks, you know, chilling. Like they came back and they were, Jeff Blashill grinded them. And I just think there are a lot of young players on this team. Ryan Green, you know, Nick Lardis, on the back end, Sam Renzel. You can go down the list of guys that sure. are, there's nothing really to play for in the standings now. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's probably just like, we're just, the gas tank is probably so low. And I feel like we're seeing that energy where you see it in spurts, the Hawks have energy, but they just cannot put together a full 60-minute effort. And I just can't help but think that they a lot of the young guys have probably hit a mental wall.
Yeah, it's the consistency, because there has been some good hockey in there, but they just can't keep it up for 60 minutes. And when you think about it, there's not a lot of, you know, veterans in the dressing room that are going to step up and maybe speak out in that dressing room. I Connor Bedard, I'm sure, is saying stuff because he's such a competitor. But it's hard for a guy who's only been in the NHL for a year to get up in front of guys and you know, to try and get everyone to toe the line. So, you know, with that being said, there's still one more game left. And, you know, as Jeff Blashill has said, these losses are tough, but let's make sure we're learning from them. And even if it's not this year, it's got to be next year, and it's got to be a good start to next season. It's so much easier to win in the first half of the season than it is in the second half of the season. We're seeing it right now. Teams are fighting for position, and that's why I give this Buffalo Sabre team so much credit, one of the best records post-Olympic break, and they do it again tonight. They very well could win their, they're in the Atlantic Division, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could win the Atlantic Division, which they want to do, and that would prevent them from playing either Montreal or Tampa Bay in the first round. They've got one more opportunity to do that, and we'll see where they end up. But, you know, getting back to the Blackhawks, yeah, they've totally hit a wall. I think, you know, you hate to say it as a coach, or you hate to say it as a player, but, you know, losing's tiring too. And, you know, when you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, it, you know, all of a sudden it gets a lot harder on the ice. And right now they're struggling. They're forcing plays. They're forcing plays that aren't there sometimes, and it's coming back to bite them.
Jeff Blashill had a money quote after the game on Saturday that I didn't get to play, or I didn't get to kind of dive into more in the pregame show, but I wrote it down, and I honestly thought he hit the nail on the head. This is his quote after the last game. He said, "I would say there's probably a fragility to our team right now more than even fatigue. I think some guys are starting to really probably struggle a little bit. The issue with where we're at is we don't have guys to lean on to pick you up a little bit when you're struggling. We're all kind of struggling together, so we're grinding through it. At some point, you're going to have to go through it, and we have to go through it and find a way to get your swagger back as individuals. Each guy kind of has to get his swagger back." I wonder if he's talking about, you know, you lose a Jason Dickinson, a Connor Murphy, a Nick Foligno, the three leaders of the locker room that they had A's or C's on their sweater, where you go through a rough time like this, and the Hawks have handed the keys to the young players and saying, this is your room now, we got to figure out how to fight through this. And there still are some veterans in the locker room with Bertuzzi and Teravainen, and, you know, to kind of try to keep the spirits high. But when the most vocal guys in the room, the Foligno's, the Murphys, mm-hmm. that have been there and have seen the ups and downs, when they're not there, I feel like the Hawks are certainly missing their presence right now. And I think that's kind of what Jeff Blashill is referring to. You know, like, we don't have anyone to lean on to pick up because everyone's collectively struggling.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he talked about the fragility of the team. I'll never forget this. I was with the New York Islanders, and we were down 3-1 to the Washington Capitals. And Al Arbor was no longer the coach, but he was an advisor. And he came into the dressing room, and he goes, "Guys, you don't have to win 3 games. You just have to go out there and win your next shift. And then after you win your next shift, you try and win the next period. And after you win the next period, you try to win the next game." And we came back from down 3-1 In a game seven, it went to four overtimes. In a game seven, we beat Washington in Washington. And I'll never forget those words. So sometimes you need that experience, guys who have been through the ringer, guys who have been through those wars, to kind of, you know, give you that, give you the sense that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe these guys aren't seeing it right now, but what they're going through right now is laying a foundation for next year. So, you know, hopefully they're learning from it. And, you know, it's too bad that Nick Foligno went on, but Nick Foligno has an opportunity to possibly win a Stanley Cup with the Minnesota Wild, and he gets to play with his brother. So, and he said he scored his first goal tonight, right?
Yeah. If it's first goal as a member of Minnesota.
And think about Connor Murphy, too. He's never really been in the playoffs. I know he was in the playoffs during the COVID year, but that was kind of a different play-in situation. But he's been, you know, 12, 13-year career, never played in the playoffs. He's going to get a real opportunity with the Edmonton Oilers. So, you know, it's good for those guys. Unfortunately, these Blackhawks would be leaning on them in a situation like this. You know, somebody's got to emerge, and, you know, I'm sure Connor Bedard's doing what he can on the ice and in the dressing room, but there's nothing like experience when it comes to hockey games like this.
Two thoughts came to my mind when you were sharing that story of the situation being down 3-1 is the glory days Blackhawks. When they were in the playoffs, I remember their record in games 1 and 3 was, like, pretty poor. Like, they would always fall behind 2-1 in the series. And their record from games 4 through 7 was just, they were almost unbeatable. It was almost like they got bored with their early series. And they're like, we just want our backs to be up against the wall because we know that we're good in that area. And it kind of speaks to the point of just, like, culture when the stars like the Kane, Taves, so you look around the room and it's like, oh, we're down 3-1 to Detroit in 2011 or 2013, and no one looks nervous in here. Like, it's because they've been through that, right? And then the other scenario that I thought of was, I remember last year at the Four Nations tournament, Connor McDavid said he learned so much from just being inside the room with Team Canada because he was just watching Sidney Crosby and how he comported himself, and he was and I remember the one thing that McDavid said was, I just remember how calm everyone was when things went sideways, like when they went into overtime in the gold medal, quote, gold medal game. It was like, what was the intermission like when you're just sitting there? And McDavid, he said, like, I was looking at Sid and I was looking at Marchand, like guys that have been, and they were just, I just saw how calm they were.
That's
going to be so valuable, that hopefully this young team, while they are losing a lot right now, maybe when they do start winning, they're going to draw back on how difficult those losses were, and they're going to remember what the process was like to get to the winning, so that way they can draw on those experiences at some point down the road.
Yeah, you've got to go through it to really, you know, experience it and to feel it and then to come out of it. That's the thing, you got to come out of it, and they haven't come out of it yet this year. And of course, next year if they start out and they're 7-3 the first 10 games of the year, this is all forgotten, and this was a learning experience. But that's something that Jeff Blashill goes back to over and over again, is I don't mind the losing. Let's just make sure we're learning from it. So, you know, you try and figure, okay, what can we learn? We allowed another 5 goals tonight. Well, you know, it's the feeling you have, and you never want to be in that situation again. And that's how you try to get to that next level.
With the last loss against the St. Louis Blues and then the Calgary Flames winning yesterday, the Blackhawks have officially locked in the 31st spot in the NHL, which doesn't sound great, but they have made a 9-point improvement. Hawks are guaranteed a top 4 pick now. So we've seen, you know, Connor Bedard, Anton Frondell was taken 3rd overall, Artem Lefshinov was 2nd overall. This is another really strong draft class, and while I think perhaps the city of Chicago is starting to get a little frustrated about having to refresh Tankathon all the time, you know, over the last couple years, because the Hawks are near the bottom of the NHL in the standings, the silver lining to potentially of all this, this season or how the season has ended, is that they're going to get another potential franchise cornerstone in this draft, which is a deep one too. Like, the upper echelon is a pretty solid one, to the point where if the Hawks do get a top 4 pick, that player could step into the NHL as soon as next season. That could be another boost of energy for the Blackhawks. And so I understand it's not somewhere the Blackhawks wanted to be this season, but we just saw here with the Buffalo Sabres here in town, and we talked a little bit about it in the pregame show, Rasmus Dahlin, first overall pick. Mm-hmm. Owen Power, first overall pick. Jack Quinn, eighth overall pick for the Buffalo Sabres. Zach Benson, 13th overall pick. They acquired Josh Norris from Ottawa for Dylan Cousins. Josh Norris was a 19 overall pick. And then they also acquired Tage Thompson, Peyton Krebs, Alex Tuch, Ryan McLeod. I think three of those four guys are first-round picks. Mm-hmm. So while it took a long time for Buffalo, there were some, you know, they had to move on from Jack Eichel, from San Reinhardt, Rhino. Like, things didn't work out there. I would say that was more of a culture thing than more a player. It took a while for Buffalo to get to where they were, but they needed all these upper echelon players, and now they've finally started to turn it around. But it took them a while, all these young players, to kind of finally figure it out.
I think what spoiled us being here in Chicago was, you know, the first go-around, it was a little shorter when we got Jonathan Toews, third overall, and then the next draft we got Patrick Kane, first overall. And then we brought in as a free agent Marian Hossa, and there was more into that. There, I mean, you know, Dustin Byfuglien was just an unbelievable player. Duncan Keith was already here. He was a high draft. He was a second rounder. He was a high draft pick. Brent Seabrook was a first round draft pick. So to your point, yeah, you need those guys to lay the foundation, but you also need supplementary pieces. And I think that's something the Blackhawks will be looking at, because look, we've got five picks in the next two rounds. We've got five picks. In the top two rounds of it's this coming draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's going to be two first-round picks, three second-round picks. That's and I'm sure that that Kyle Davidson and his management crew are thinking about, okay, how do we take that next step? Because next year, I can guarantee you, Danny Wirtz is going to want to make sure that we're pushing for a playoff spot. If we're not in the playoffs, within a few points. So at least these guys are gaining the experience of meaningful hockey. And, you know, that will come, but it can't be all draft picks. You're going to have to bring in some guys who have got some experience, maybe not necessarily Stanley Cup experience, but playoff experience. And, you know, right now we're lacking a little bit of size, and not so much on the back end, but maybe, you know, as at the forward position. And I think those are all those things that the coaching staff and management will be talking about. But, yeah, that's exactly what Buffalo's done. It's been a lot longer in Buffalo. You know, when we think about it, the Blackhawks did it with Kane and Toews. It was literally a 4 or 3 year turnaround, which is really fast tracking it. That can be done. And the Blackhawks are in a great position to do that, but you need to bring in, you know, it can't be all draft picks that are suiting up to play. You got to bring in some people from the outside, some, you know, maybe some 27, 28, 29-year-old forwards who are, you know, have some experience and maybe a bit of size.
I feel like we also, it's good perspective too. When Toews got drafted third overall in 2006, Kane got drafted number one overall in 2007, they both break into the NHL in the 2007-08 season. But like you mentioned, like, they had already acquired Patrick Sharp, Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook were there. There were other complementary and core pieces, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, they were developing, and then it was like the Kane and Toews were like the final pieces, right? Mm-hmm. Well, after the Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
But as far as like a draft selection, when Kyle Davidson took over, he declares a rebuild in 2022. The Hawks are finished last in the standings that the first year that he declares a rebuild, and they win the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. And I think in some fans' mind, they think, all right, rebuild is over, let's go. But it's like, no, the cupboard was so bare when Connor Bedard came here to Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they, you know, when the 2006 and 2007, when they got Toews and Kane, it was like the reverse, where like they were drafting Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook.
They had already had the
they
foundation.
Had already had some of the, they were hitting on those draft picks, and then boom, like they were ready to go. And and you mentioned the Marian Hossa like signing with the Blackhawks in 2009. I don't think Marian Hossa signs here a year early. Like, let's just say he actually was a free agent a year earlier, and he signed a 1 year contract with Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But the Blackhawks they fell 3 points shy of a playoff spot, I believe, in the 07-08 season, which was the Kane and Toews year. Well, they end up going to the conference final in the 08-09, face Marian Hossa's Detroit Red Wings,
mm-hmm.
and Hossa, as a free agent, looks at Chicago and says, that's a team I want to go for now because they look like they're ready to win in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what I'm saying is why it's important for the Blackhawks to at least push for a playoff spot next year is because it's a hard sell this summer to free agents to want to come to Chicago because there hasn't been any fruit of the wins yet. Mm-hmm. If the Hawks next year are knocking on the door of a playoff spot, mm-hmm. then I think the rest of the league or free agents, maybe players that have no trade clauses or whatever, says, okay, maybe I'll take Chicago off my list now because that seems like a team that I want to go there. Because we all know like what happens, this city gets behind you when they're winning. And I think this would be a coveted destination, but players want to go first and foremost, they want to go somewhere where they can win. Mm-hmm. And that's why, to piggyback off your point, I'm sure Danny Wirtz would like to get this thing moving in the right direction starting next year. I think it's massive for the Blackhawks next year to at least threaten a potential playoff spot so they can communicate to the rest of the league, like, mm-hmm. all right, the Hawks are ready to roll here.
Yeah, because this is a destination. I mean, it's the facilities here, the way they're treated, the practice facility, travel, everything. I mean, the city of Chicago itself is a world-class city, so it is a destination. But you're right. First and foremost, guys want to make sure they're winning. And if this team is on an upward trend, guys will want to join that wagon. And that next year is really important for this team. And they don't have to, you know, they've got tons of draft picks. They don't have to hit on all of them. The guys are developing, and we've seen it even this year with the guys in the lineup. But you've got to augment it. You've got to add. And I think the coaching staff realizes it. I know management knows it. This is going to be a real important offseason for the Blackhawks.
And last side note, Brian Campbell signing here with the Blackhawks was put the Blackhawks on the map because he was one of the top defensemen in the entire NHL, ironically, with the Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm. Who were in town tonight. And when he signed a long-term deal here with Chicago, he kind of helped elevate, like, oh, Chicago is a destination now where you actually want to go play. And so he deserves all the credit in the world. But my Marian Hossa example, I don't think Marian a year prior would have seen Chicago as the destination yet because the Hawks hadn't, you know, made that playoff run yet. So I'm confident the Blackhawks are going to get there. I just think sometimes we lose perspective over how quickly these things happen because it still is going to take patience. You know, over the last 3 years, it really has. But next year, I think they have to knock on the door.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just have to look at these Buffalo Sabres, and it hasn't happened overnight for them. I'm just trying to look to see when Darlene was drafted. I think Darlene was, what, the 20...
It was 2018.
2018, yeah. So we're talking 8 years ago. So, right. I mean, that's an eternity in NHL years. And, you know, but listen, the fans that stuck with them, and, you know, the patience of ownership, too, has gotten them to this point. And I'm not going to say they're favorites to win the Stanley Cup, but I wouldn't have bet against this team at all.
Me neither, Steve. Great stuff. I know this is probably a tough loss to talk about, but yeah. a general discussion on where things are at in the process I think is important when we're kind of viewing how the final few weeks here are going, because it could be easy to kind of get down on the spiral of these last 10 games, but... I don't expect, like, going into next year, there's going to be a newfound energy. There's going to be help. There's going to be another full year of these young players and a full year of Anton Frondell. And so there's still going to be growing pains. But I just think mentally, physically, a lot of these young players are probably spent. And we're seeing it right now. But that doesn't mean that this team, how they're finishing, is going to be the team that starts next season. I feel like it's going to be a totally different feel for this team next year.
Yeah, there'll be an energy, and there'll be some new faces for sure. We know that. No team ever rotates over from season to season, so we'll see some new faces. I know the coaching staff's going to be energized, and you know Jeff Blashill's got the right attitude. And the thing I love about him, he's had his players' backs all year long, and the players realize that. I know as a player, when the coach went out of his way to make sure he wasn't throwing players under the bus, that, you know what, you made sure you gave him the extra effort, you know, come the next time you were out there.
All right, Steve, great stuff. Thanks for hanging with me a little bit longer than usual, but it was a good conversation.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it, Charlie. Thanks. You could be a GM one day.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know about that, Steve. That's why I'm behind the mic here, because mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't be equipped. Maybe an advisor to the...
equipment manager.
Maybe, you know what, maybe an intern to the GM. How about that? All right. The Blackhawks suffer a 5-1 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. We have some sound rolling in from the locker room. We'll hear what some of the guys had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Darlene along the right side boards. Fed the slot. Picked off by the Hawks, Ilya Mikheyev. He'll race out to center. Over the Sabre line. Put it in front. Ryan Green. He shoots. He scores! Short-handed goal for Ryan Green. And the Hawks take a 1-0 lead. Ilya Mikheyev on the dish placed it perfectly in front of Green's stick. And he did the rest. 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Unfortunately for the Blackhawks, that Ryan Green shorthanded goal was the lone goal that the Blackhawks scored in this game. It was Ryan's 11th goal of the season and also his second goal in as many games after he went 12 straight without one. It was also the sixth shorthanded goal scored for the Blackhawks this season. What a pass by Ilya Mikheyev, who set that thing up. So Ilya Mikheyev has been really good. We'll talk about his situation, I'm sure, as a pending unrestricted free agent at some point in the next few days here, but he helped set that up, Ryan Green scoring his first career NHL shorthanded goal. Let's hear what Ryan Donato had to say after this team's 5-1 loss to the Buffalo Sabres.
Ryan, how tough are these games to play?
They're tough, but I think we have a lot of lessons that we want to learn from these, and we got to find a way to, you know, make sure we make the most of them.
How do you think the team can get their heads up or keep their heads up going into the last game?
I mean, I think for a guy, you know, I've been around a little bit now and played on a couple teams and had some off seasons. You don't want to leave the very last game with a bad taste in your mouth. Obviously, the future's bright with this team, but you know, we want to show the crowd, we want to show, you know, ourselves that, you know, the future's bright and we have one more chance to, you know, prove that and get that, you know, sour taste out of our mouth. Obviously, it's still going to be there a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's one more game, one more chance to, you know, prove our fans, you know, showing them, you know, what it could be like in the future.
Buffalo's made the big bumps up this year. Is that something you guys think you can do next year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't see why not. I think it's just a matter of executing and, you know, the coaches give us a great game plan every night. It's just maturing, being ready every night and, you know, not taking any opportunities for granted.
Did you sense a lack of effort or mental engagement as the game went on tonight?
It's probably too early to say. I'd probably like to go back and watch, you know, some of the clips. Probably, you know, the coaches probably attest to that a little better than I can. But I do think it's, you know, it over a long year, it can get grueling. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Every night is an opportunity to, you know, take a step forward and, you know, prove yourself as a individual and as a team. And there's so many opportunities to do that for us, and we have to make the most of those.
To hear the fans booing a few times, is that tough?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to experience that. And no, like I said, it leaves that bitter taste in your mouth, and you know, we got to give them a reason to cheer for us.
What are you hoping to get out of the last game of the season, personally?
Taking steps forward. I mean, we're playing against a good team, you know, a team that's been fighting for playoffs all year, showing that we want to be one of those teams and, you know, that we can do it. We got to show it on a consistent night. Over a long season, you can get grueling on the body and that kind of stuff, but you got to be mentally tough and, you know, power through it and just know that, you know, it's a long season, but at the end of the day, these teams are going on to play playoffs and have a lot more to go through. So we want to be that team, and, you know, we have a good test coming up, and obviously we would have liked to do that tonight, but we didn't, and, you know, we got to focus on the next game.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato, who we talked about it with Steve, with the Blackhawks lacking some leaders right now, some veterans, I should say, inside that locker room with the departures of Foligno, Dickinson, Murphy. Ryan Donato is one of those veterans that have kind of stepped in, that have kind of had to step into this role, and obviously spoke to the media to kind of answer for this tough loss. So let's go to Wyatt Kaiser. He was the second player that spoke after this game, and hear what he had to say after this 5-1 loss to Buffalo.
Edgy, you guys are hoping for a better kind of showing here at this last homestand. What have you noticed over these last three games?
There's been a lack of battle winning, I think. It's not a lack of effort, I don't think, but we're just losing a lot of battles in critical areas that lead to ice getting tilted on us, or just trying to get in that flow where you get into their zone, extended offense, get out of our D zone, where for me, it's just the battles.
What would you like the team to show the fans going into the last game of the season?
I mean, yeah, we want to win and put a good performance on, because I think we're a good team. At the end of the day, we just have to play it. So that's kind of our main issue right now, is just playing to what we can be.
So hard to hear, you know, the team getting booed a few times there in the third period.
Yeah, it's not fun. I don't know if it's unwarranted, but it's not fun.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Wyatt Kaiser. I'm not sure the Hawks fans were booing. I think every time Buffalo Sabres goaltender Ukko Pekka Luukkonen made a big save, you heard the Sabres fans in the crowd saying ooh. So I think that might have been it. And he, most notably, it came on the 5-on-3 power play or on those power plays in the third period for the Blackhawks where you heard it the most. So I just want to provide some quick clarification. I didn't hear a ton of boos by Blackhawks fans today, even though it probably would have been warranted if they did do that. All right, we got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including the postgame press conference by Jeff Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Hawks fall to the Buffalo Sabres 5-1 in the second to last game of the season. Time now for tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Connor Bedard led the way in ice time for Chicago, 22 minutes and 31 seconds of ice time. The only other player that logged north of 20 minutes was Wyatt Kaiser at 20:17. Let's hear from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill, who spoke to the media just a little bit ago.
When you looked at this season at the start, did you expect to be in a spot where you are right now?
I didn't know. I had no expectation one way or the other. It's, you know, I would say to you, I think it's a little unfortunate that, these games have kind of gone this way the last couple, because honestly, we've done tons of good things to build this in the right direction. And, you know, unfortunately, this sours your taste, but that doesn't, in the end, when we look back, we'll know that we have built a lot of building blocks to have us success in the future. So,
tell them at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll talk about a number of things. There's zero, you know, it's frustrating. So then you start, again, it can really sour your view on things. I think this time of year can be. It can fool you in either way, to be honest with you. I think when you play great this time of year, it can fool you. When you play poorly this time of year, sometimes it can fool you. Again, I think we've built a lot of building blocks. I think we've built the foundation. I think we've built the things we wanted to in terms of culture and standard. And the last few games, you know, it's score-wise for sure, we've really gotten away from us. It was a weird game tonight. Like, we did lots of good stuff, and then boom, it's in our net. And we made a crazy mistake out of nowhere, you know, and those are hard to overcome. And but my message to them at the end of the year, I mean, we can talk about that at the end of the year. We're going to focus on trying to win a game against San Jose.
It felt like the game was the power plays. It could have been a different one. It was the power play. It felt disjointed, especially on that 5-3. Just, it didn't seem like it had exactly a plan to what it was going about.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with you. It didn't. I mean, there is a plan, but it didn't totally look like that. Now, part of that plan is allowing Connor to move, and sometimes when you have movement, you know, it's an interesting thing. Like, you can be static and everybody kind of knows what they're doing. When you introduce movement, there has to be some patterns, but you know, I didn't think we probably read off each other great. It's definitely a huge moment in the game. We get that 5-on-3, you score on that, and maybe you get a chance to score on a 5-on-4, and then it's a whole different thing. For me, it was a weird game. Like, that structurally, we did good stuff. We defended well. Then all of a sudden, we just made this huge mistake out of nowhere, and it's in your net in you know, huge, huge opportunities for them. They're obviously a team that you can't do that against.
You're referring to that line change with the huge upset?
Well, referring to multiple things. Like, you know, we give up a breakaway out of nowhere. You know, the first goal, we win a face-off, and 10 seconds later, it's in our net. You know, we have a D-zone turnover, a little bit of a weird bounce, but D-zone turnover, it's in our net. We have a bad line change. I'll take responsibility for that. That's in our net. I talked about the breakaway. We have a turnover at the offensive blue line. Like, you know, again, you did lots of, and then you just give them the chance, you know. And so that's just something, you know, the big one that, you know, some of that stuff I don't think has happened a lot. Some of it's just individual mistakes. Some of it, we can't turn pucks over at the offensive blue line. That's just a fact.
Buffalo's done this year, the big bounce back.
Yeah.
Can you see your team doing this next week?
We'll see. We'll get a chance to prove it. You know, I think ultimately, you know, when you look at Buffalo's year, they've had a lot of young talent that they've built over time. And I don't know how many years it was that they missed the playoffs, but over that time, they've amassed talent. They have a number one overall, a number one overall, a number four overall, and I think a 32nd or 33rd overall on their top four. And, you know, I'd say, you know, if you ask them, you know, why it kind of finally clicked, well, those guys really clicked, you know, like all of a sudden they're top four, become an elite top four in the league, as opposed to young guys making mistakes, you know, and you go from a non-playoff team to a really good team, a division champion. So that doesn't mean that, you know, we're probably, they were at this, I would say, longer, believe it or not, than what it feels for a lot of you that have been in Chicago a long time, but this is what happens, you know, and at some point, I know that this young team will click and we will take off. I just don't know when. Is it next year? That's up to us.
You think Wednesday is a chance to kind of kick that off?
Well, again, like, you know, we've gone into each game and talked about how important each game is. So, you know, Wednesday's no different than tonight, no different than the last game. But, you know, certainly it would be nice to have a better taste in your mouth than what we have walking out of the building the last three games. You know what I mean? There's zero doubt about that. Yeah.
Tonight seemed pretty sloppy. Stringing together passes seems like a challenge. What do you chalk it up to?
Probably, you know, again, it's probably confidence, to be honest with you. You know, like, confidence and probably standing still a little bit with the puck. We got to move your feet with the puck and then be able to make those plays.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Let's take our final break here, and we'll wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show on 720 WGN. Back here at the United Center, Charlie Romeliotis with you as the Blackhawks drop their fourth straight contest with a 5-1 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. Time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Adam Guyan made his first pro start in Rockford yesterday after he signed his entry-level contract with the Blackhawks, 2023 second-round pick. The Rockford IceHogs lost 4-2 to the Chicago Wolves, but Guyan made 36 saves on 39 shots for a .923 save percentage. Not bad at all. And how about this? According to Dana Gray, the voice of the Rockford IceHogs, this season now set a new record for the IceHogs with having 7 goalies see ice time this year. Bereznoy, Brossois, Comesso, Flores, Rodrigue, Weeks, and now Guyan. So how about that? Adam Guyan, though, a successful pro start in Rockford despite the loss to the Chicago Wolves. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks will be back at the United Center one final time on Wednesday for the season finale against the San Jose Sharks. We got a 7:30 puck drop, 7 o'clock pregame show. The San Jose Sharks picked up a win over the Nashville Predators earlier tonight, but the LA Kings, as I check this right now, are currently leading the Seattle Kraken 3-2. Midway through the third period. If LA goes to hang on for a victory, that would officially eliminate the San Jose Sharks from playoff contention. So, very long shot that the Sharks make the playoffs, but nonetheless, we're going to get Connor Bedard versus Macklin Celebrini in the final game of the season for the Blackhawks on Wednesday. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and our captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conrad, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-1 loss to the Sabres. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday from the UC.